Today on Deeply Shallow, episode 21.
We're talking bad influences, people, situations, triggers, how to avoid them, and how to navigate.
What's going on?
I got a vent.
Ooh, start from the beginning. Tell me everything. What were you wearing? Welcome to your new obsession, Deeply Shallow.
In a world where 90% of social media is only 10% of actual life, we're here to chat about the real, relatable, and completely unpostworthy parts of it.
We are bringing out the fun and dysfunctional. We're talking family, relationships, and mental health with an irreverent spin and absolutely no judgment.
We're here with a blunt, sometimes harsh, and occasionally controversial edge that will leave you saying,
"Breach."
Yes.
It's Deeply Shallow, real and unapologetic.
We're all in this together.
Listener discretion advised. What's going on, Shallow Squad? Welcome to Deeply Shallow with Matt and Tara. Whether you are feeling deep or you are feeling shallow, you have come to the right place. I am your host, Tara, along always with my co-host. He's a true friend because he let me sit in the comfortable chair, Mr. Matt Hanley.
I did notice what you tried to do with the stool. Like, I got here late today, y'all, and so for recording, so Tara had...
We have a comfortable chair and we have like a wooden stool. Yeah.
And after last time she'd complained, she's like, "Oh, this stool's killing me."
I mean, it hurts my back to sit on it. My 30-year-old back.
Welcome to 30.
So I may have given myself the cozy chair, but he let me continue to sit on it.
Yes.
So
that's the thing is, you know, Tara got here early and so she started kind of setting up because we pull some tables together, whatever. But I should always know that there's going to be a catch.
if you want me to be helpful, you have to pay the price.
She's going to slide it in her favor.
That's right. But anyway.
Tara, as always, we like to kind of get our show started with our mental health check-in.
Correct.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where are you at today?
I'm good. I would say I'm at an 8 today.
Yeah.
I just got a Christmas tree, which I know it's like January, the second week of January.
So you bought a new one?
But I bought a new Christmas tree for B's room.
Uh-huh.
And I've had my eye on this Christmas tree for quite a while. It was way out of my budget, but there was, I think, like 2 left after all the holiday sales. And it was... Yeah. Really, really marked down from like $350 to like $50.
Christmas trees are so expensive.
So they are. So, I mean, we've talked about how sales give me a high before. So
yes.
I'm on a high, but, you know, so I'm going to go with an 8. What about you? How are you feeling?
I am feeling okay. I am probably lower, as you can tell by my voice. I'm a little sickly. So I'm probably like a 7.5. And also this morning I had the privilege of taking the youngest to the dentist to have a tooth pulled.
Oh.
So
like
it's
yeah.
So far it's been a
so hard. You know, speaking of kids, I'm gonna have like a little troll moment real quick. So last night I'm showing B everything that I had got her at the sale. And I said, "B, do you like what I got you?" And she just looks at me dead ass and says, "No." And I said,
"Wow.
Well, that's rude." I said, "Well, maybe I should stop buying you things." "Okay, mommy." Like, this kid does not, she gives 0 Fs.
Was it all clothes?
It was like some bows and I think a couple of like sweaters, a jacket. I mean, it was a clothing item, but usually like if I even let her open an Amazon box and it's like paper towels.
She's cool with it.
"Oh, thank you, mommy." You know, she's about opening presents,
yes.
Especially right now
that
Christmas is not that far off in the past.
Yeah.
But she was just over it yesterday.
So similarly, the youngest, this has been probably 3 or 4 years ago for his birthday. My sister got him some clothes and he opens the box and you know, there's clothes inside or whatever. And he's like, "Aunt Jennifer, clothes are not a present."
Newsflash, lady.
Newsflash.
Unless they're colored clothes underwear, not, yes. I'm not interested.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
These kids, they'll keep you on your toes.
They absolutely will.
Okay, but so did you give us a number where you're at?
Yes, 7.5.
Okay, 7.5. Yeah. Okay, so 7.5, 8.
Yeah.
We're on the same wavelength.
Absolutely.
Okay, so I was on social. You know how everyone right now with the new year is trying to put all this positive...
Yes.
Energy out there, which I'm about that.
January is a positive month.
That's right. It all goes to hell in February, right. But we're going to keep it.
Actually, we'll be lucky if it's like MLK Day. We're still rolling hard.
But I saw this meme and it said, pay attention to the people in your life who don't clap when you win. And I was like,
okay, say that again. Pay attention to the people.
Pay attention to the people in your life who do not clap when you win.
Okay.
And I was like, I kind of like that. Because I do think that sometimes we let people stick around in our lives who are not necessarily happy for us unless something equal or bigger is also going on for them.
Yeah. And that plays so well into our show today. Because so today, Shall Squad, we are talking about bad influences.
That's right.
And like, I'm sure as soon as you hear that, your immediate response or your immediate thought is like drugs, alcohol, you know,
right.
The big ones.
And those are bad influences.
Those can be bad influences. But really today we want to talk about like the people who are bad influences,
right.
The situations that are bad influences, sure. That kind of stuff.
Yeah. Our triggers, you know, that maybe make us feel a certain way that's not positive or good for us. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to kind of dive into that.
Yeah. Well, let's get started.
All right, let's start. So obviously the first thing that comes to mind is people. That's going to be the big one.
Right.
So let's kind of break that into a few different segments. So,
and before we jump into that, I want to make sure that everybody understands when we're talking about people as bad influences, these may be perfectly wonderful people.
Sure.
But if they, by their presence or the feelings that they give you or whatever, if that creates a negative situation for you, then that can be a bad influence.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
It really is not as much about, I mean, there are some people who are just bad influences.
Right.
But there are also people who are good people that just because of your mental capacity may not be good for you.
Right, exactly.
All right,
so let's start with social circle because I feel like that's probably...
it's a big one.
That's probably where most of the things that are coming to people's head right now listening to this, it's someone is coming to mind who is from their social circle.
Yeah, so social circles are tricky.
Sure.
And I have struggled with them actually my whole life.
Okay.
I think I've mentioned on the show before, but you know, I grew up very rural poor is how I would describe it. But I went to school with kids of affluence.
Sure.
Their parents were, you know, profitable business owners or attorneys or physicians or whatever.
Sure.
And I was always kind of outside looking in because I went to school with these kids, but really wasn't invited into their circle.
Sure.
Because I couldn't afford to do the things they could.
Of course.
You know, I couldn't afford the Cole loafers and the and the ski trips, you know, for spring break.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
All that stuff. But what's really troubling about it is that created in my mind kind of a longing to belong to that group.
Sure.
So that created a, you know, kind of a situation in my head of, okay, well, I would like to get to a point of affluence myself to where then I'm accepted into that group.
Sure.
Now, in reality, that's not necessarily how this works.
Right. Exactly.
Right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's one of the things, you know, that's from my earliest memory, and this would be, you know, probably middle school, is trying to run with a crowd that I was never going to be accepted into because I didn't.
Sure.
I didn't grow up in the same manner that they did.
Right. And that kind of goes back to what you were saying about these people could be perfectly great, pleasant people, but trying to fit in with a crowd that you do not fit in with is not going to be something that's healthy for you.
No, it's not. Because when you're not accepted into that group, or you're left, or you're excluded from that group,
right,
that's what's going to create these negative feelings. And that can have, you know, pretty nasty ramifications of
absolutely
self-doubt or, you know, not, or self-worth, you know, taking a hit or whatever. So
sure. No, absolutely. And then there's the type of social circles where oftentimes it seems the longer that you are friends with someone, it's like the more you're willing to overlook the things that they say or do, it's like they almost get a pass on their behavior because they've been in your life for such a long time.
Okay.
And I think that social circle of kind of understanding that no one gets a pass for their behavior.
Right.
Just because they're an old friend or even a family member. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's really tough.
Right. That's where it gets tricky.
Yes, because your love for someone, whether it be a friend that was from middle school or high school or college, you know, depending on how far back we're going, or a family member, your love wants to extend this grace to them.
Sure.
Which we're all about grace and, you know, forgiveness and all of that. I mean, that's part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, if it becomes where it is just no longer healthy for you,
right,
you've got to
separate.
You've got to separate.
Okay. So let's kind of talk about like old friends, or let's talk about friends in general. Mm-hmm. So if you have a friend who, kind of going back to how we started our segment, is not really ever happy for anyone else in the group unless something is going on for them.
Yeah.
Like that's a red flag. Mm-hmm. That would be a negative influence in your life.
Right.
And I think that oftentimes as we get older, we start to kind of recognize that a little bit more.
Yeah.
And it's important, I think, to surround yourself by people who genuinely want to see you win. They want to see you succeed, to do well, without kind of putting that jealous, you know, factor in there.
And I think that's the piece. You just hit it right there, is jealousy is so hard to combat.
Absolutely.
Right. I mean, mm-hmm. we both can say we have been jealous of somebody.
Oh, absolutely.
You know,
I live my life jealous of someone constantly. I'm always jealous of somebody.
Well, and I think that it is very human nature to be jealous and to also be competitive.
Right. Oh, absolutely.
And I think that when we're friends with people, especially folks that are in our similar age range.
Yes.
We should all be hitting the same milestones at the same time.
Right. Comparison is the thief of joy, as they say.
That is exactly what it is. And mm-hmm. I think that some people really struggle with that. One of the things that in my profession, that went away pretty fast for me, because I have folks who have unbelievable, like from a financial standpoint.
Sure.
They have an unbelievable amount of wealth. Wealth I'll never be able to achieve, more than likely, you know. But at the same time, I don't necessarily want to trade lives with them.
Sure.
Because I know a lot about a lot of these people. And I think that sometimes we make these comparisons, or a friend will make a comparison, and you don't know what all's going on, you know?
Right. But I mean, absolutely.
So it's not as though your life is somehow inferior to someone because they got a job promotion, or because they just had another baby, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
But you're right. When you have that friend who never really seems to fully be engaged in the excitement, mm-hmm. that's a problem.
Right. And I think kind of looking inward too, like I just said, I live my life jealous of people all the time. I will catch myself getting jealous over the stupidest shit.
Yeah.
Like insane things that I don't even want to talk about on this pod, but since we're here and I have no choice, like I will find myself getting jealous if like I have a friend who I feel like doesn't like my pictures on social as much as they like someone else's pictures on social, or, you know, just insane types of behavior where I'll start feeling myself getting warmed and worked up. And then I have to recognize this about myself and be like, okay, you're being a crazy person.
Right.
Like sit down and kind of work through it on your own. Like we're not saying if you feel these feelings or if other people have moments or spurts where they're acting totally crazy.
Right.
That you have to be like, okay, bye, and cut them out of your life.
No.
We're saying if it's you who's doing it, take a minute to be like, is this a real problem? Is this something I'm really upset about?
Right. It's very important what you just mentioned, because we don't want to be in the business of cutting people out of our lives.
Absolutely.
I mean,
not.
That needs to be like a last resort situation.
Of course. Yes.
But what we can control is how we react to it.
Absolutely.
Right. So we want to be able to figure out how to navigate and kind of cope with when we have these feelings. How do we kind of handle these bad influence situations?
Sure.
And so like if you have this friend that you know is going to be a total drag when you tell them some great news, maybe you don't tell them.
Right. Exactly.
You know, maybe because if you do the same thing over and over, expected a result, you're the person that's crazy.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
So if you know you're not going to get the response you want from them, then don't expect it.
Right. So don't think that, you know, don't ask people to do more than what they're capable of doing.
Absolutely.
Sure. Yeah. No, that's fair. And in the same breath, when you don't get the reaction from someone and they're not the kind of person who doesn't typically stand up and clap, like if they have a moment, mm-hmm. extend them some grace, like
Absolutely.
We talked about earlier, and kind of be like, okay, well, that was not really the reaction I was hoping for. I mean, we've had moments on this podcast where we've like stopped and been like, why are you not laughing at my jokes? We've had to be like, come on, like I'm trying to get you to engage with me. And, you know, we all have off days, off moments, whatever it is. And you kind of have to look at the whole picture.
Yeah, I was actually, it's really interesting, because I was talking to a longtime friend of mine a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about business deal together, and like he was just so flat, like just like, and which is very unusual. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, I got off the phone and I was like, I was really kind of pissed. And then like I realized a few whatever, like, you know, hours or maybe it was the next day, I was like, you know, something must have been going on. And so I called, and sure enough, there was.
Right.
Like, and I was like, hey, is everything okay? And he's, well, you know, I got a lot of stuff going on, you know, and then kind of had some stuff that he was going through. So sometimes, like you said, that should even be maybe even a little bit of a check-in, like,
hey,
if they're not giving me, like, that's not normal for them. Maybe, sure, you know, something's going on there. But
and sometimes people are just assholes, and they're not happy for
right.
you. And those are the kind
those
of people that you need to snip.
Yeah, got to get yeah, away from.
Exactly.
And it's hard. Have you ever experienced this in your social circle where there is that person, but for whatever reason, the rest of the group won't let them go? But
sure,
you see,
they just like hold on to
yes,
them.
But you see the bullshit and you're just like, yeah, why can we not be done with this person?
Well,
why do we keep coming back for more?
I know. I haven't really had that in my social circle, thankfully, but I have had some girlfriends who have been the person telling me, what is wrong with you? Why will you not cut off this person? And then, but I have had that situation in my family in terms of with my in-laws. I have an in-law who I just, after years and years and years of trying to make any kind of relationship work, mm-hmm, even cordial,
right,
it just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah.
And so I made the personal decision that I was not going to be a part of his life at all in any capacity. He doesn't exist to me. And that has been a huge issue,
yeah,
especially, you know, around the holidays that have just passed. It was a huge issue.
Of course.
And it sucks sometimes, especially when it's family, but people don't get a free pass because they're family.
Yeah, that is the hardest part. And of course, we both come from, you know, we both have two siblings, you know, in our
sure,
respective families.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, we have a good relationship with most all of our family,
right,
you know, extended family, whatnot. But you're right. Like, at what point do you say, you know, I'm just unhappy being around this person?
Right.
And like, I've always heard that when the pain of staying the same becomes higher than the fear of making a change, that's when you know,
sure,
it's over, it's done,
right,
you know? And it's not to say that people can't reconcile in their lives, because they can. I mm-hmm, do, I, you know, that does happen. But if you are in a situation, the first thing you have to, you know, really be conscious of is self-care. Like,
sure,
I've got a very, we all live very stressful lives,
of course.
So like, we have got to be at a point where we can say, you know what, this person, because when I am around them, or when we're in a setting, you know, whatever the situation is, when I literally have a negative feeling about myself, you know, that's related to them, then yeah, something's got to change.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, not everyone is going to be supportive of that. Like, we talked about how you can't get your friend circle to finally cut this person loose.
Right.
I will never be able to get all of my in-law part of family,
right,
to understand why I feel the way
where
I do. Exactly. But
yes,
that's the reality that I live in yep, this situation. That's the reality a lot of people have to maintain and function through. And so that's kind of where you get to where we talked about having to navigate through bad
yes,
influences
yes,
in your life.
Absolutely.
Right. Because, I mean, you can't just always cut out everything.
You can't. Otherwise, you will be incredibly lonely.
Yes.
And, you know, the banana always has a saying that I think you appreciate and like have talked about before. There are times when you have to take your friends where they are.
Right.
And that can be family, friends,
sure,
you know, coworkers, whatever that situation is. You have to be able to take them where they are.
Right.
And I think that somehow we have to make a distinction between being understanding and full of grace, but then also being able to recognize, okay, this is just not helpful for me.
Right.
And
this isn't changing.
Terry, I don't think that's easy.
No, I think it's such a personal decision for everyone.
It is a personal
decision. Everyone knows when they have reached their limit.
Yeah.
And then there's people like Hubba, who he doesn't have a limit.
No, he does not have a limit.
He will take people high, low, up and down, middle of the road, wherever they are,
right,
for the rest of
right,
his life.
And I applaud that he can do that.
Sure, yeah.
Because it's like you said, it's a very personal decision, but it also... So it's personal, and it also is a personality driven.
Absolutely.
You know, because you and I both deal with fairness issues.
Yes. Like, I'm the fair police.
Right.
Which is probably why I, you know, die on this hill
right,
of, you know, cutting things off.
But you're right. Like with Hubba, it doesn't bother him. He's never going to be.
No, never.
He's never going to get as amped up or worked up about anybody saying anything to him.
No. And there's nothing y'all could say to him that he would be like, I will never speak to that person again. Like,
no, that just...
If someone were to come up and just say the worst thing to him and then a day later be like, yo, I'm sorry, can I buy you a beer? He'd be like, yeah, man. Yeah, like, man. It's all good. Yeah, it's like, all- he... like, nothing affects this person. I have been trying for 7 years to get a reaction out of this fool. Nothing. Zero.
But see, that's why y'all are a good match. Because if both of you were as amped up as you are all the time, like, one of you would just be in a constant state of, like, a nervous breakdown.
Oh, constantly, yeah. My boss says the funniest thing. So her and her husband kind of remind me of Hubba and I, just in there, you know, she gets really worked up and crazy like I do, and he seems like he's very middle of the road. But she will say that he will tell her, Carla, there's no MTV cameras around. Like, who are you putting on this production for? And I love that. I think that's so funny because that's Hubba. He's like, I don't understand why this is a big deal. I'm like, our house is on fire. You don't understand why I'm panicking right now. And he's just like, no, it's all good. Like,
okay. But see, that may work for her, but like, I just don't see if that was his response of, you know, where are the cameras at? I think that might actually take you to the next level.
I would like murder him for sure. But no, I mean, but I know that's what he's thinking in his brain. He's like, it's just us here. Like,
so what do you think too about how age plays into this?
I think it's easier as you get older to recognize the signs of when people need grace versus when people are just pieces of shit.
Yeah.
And I think you also, as you get older, you get a little bit more confident in who you are and the kind of people that you need around you.
Yes. And I think you're also able, through the grace process, the older you get, I think that you're able to see sometimes that it's not people being an asshole. It's that they are insecure.
Yes.
Or that they are immature. And I think that that allows even more grace.
Oh, sure.
And I think that's the great part about, for a lot of people, about aging and mellowing, you know, as they, you know, as people tend to do, because then you can see, okay, this guy really isn't a jerk. He's just not confident in where he is in his life, you know,
right.
Or her, you know, whatever the case may be.
And I have had relationships that I have kind of got to a point where I've been like, this person is not a bad person.
Yeah.
I just don't want to participate in this type of lifestyle, whether it's dramatic or insincere or even immature.
Right.
You don't have to kind of bundle everybody up and take them with you on your road without having to be like, I'm never speaking to this person again.
Yeah.
You can just kind of live in a parallel lane with them and not wish bad on them. You know?
And see, I think that's what's so important about your social circle. You know, you call it your village.
Sure. Yes. I call it my village. Yeah.
I think that's what's so important about it, because at the end of the day, the village needs to be headed the same direction.
Absolutely.
Or at least have the same understanding of what's important in life.
Of course, yeah.
And I think that's the piece that sometimes gets lost is, yes, one of your village can have a bad day, but on the whole, everybody's headed this direction.
Yes.
But if you're in a social circle where, like, you're not headed the same direction they are, then sometimes that, you know, I have another friend who's going through that right now. She's come to the realization, like, that a really close friend of hers may not be... like, they may not be on the same path. They may not be on the same road. They may not want the same things out of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. That doesn't make this friend any less of a person. It just means, hey, we're not necessarily rowing the same direction anymore. And I want to be rowing this way, you know?
Right.
And I think that's a tough decision. But sometimes that's what has to happen in order for you to keep down the road that you've decided is for you.
And absolutely.
So I think that's hugely important, is if you're in a village that you're saying, or in a social circle that you're saying, man, these people don't really... they're not really headed to where I want to head.
Right.
Then maybe it's time to surround yourself with people, you know, that are more cohesive with what you're trying to do.
Right. You say often you should surround yourself with people that you want to be like.
Right.
And I think that's so important. I think that when you think of a bad influence, what kind of comes to mind is someone who's like always trying to get you to do bad things. But that's really not what it is.
No.
It's a person who isn't adding positivity to your life.
Right.
You know what I mean? They can be a great person, a great parent, but if they are making you worse, Right. That is a bad influence.
Right. And this is age too. This is an age thing. As I've gotten older and become more comfortable with kind of who I am, I do have people around me that I love to be the dumbest person in the room.
Sure. Absolutely.
You know, like to be able to.
You're the bad influence in that situation. You're making everyone dumb.
But like sometimes, you know, that's important too, because that's when you stretch yourself, is when you get into a group of people that are, you know, whether, you know, if it's in a Bible study at church, mm-hmm. when you're the person who knows the least amount, like you're going to learn the most.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? And so, or, you know, whatever it could be. A hobby or whatever. And that's a really positive thing, is to get into an uncomfortable, kind of an uncomfortable state to stretch your horizons and go, okay, this year I really want to, you know, like I said, deepen my faith. I'm going to join this Bible study. And you got to know going in, there's going to be some people in there that might make you feel uncomfortable because of their, you know, knowledge or whatever, but you have kind of two ways to react to that.
Right.
Okay. If that's going to create a situation where you say, I don't want to study the Bible anymore, as an example,
sure,
that's a negative. That's a bad influence. But
right.
if you can get into a group where you realize, okay, these people want to lift me up and help deepen that, you know, deepen my faith or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's a very positive thing. And
of
so,
course.
And the same two people, like you just said, the same two people could walk into the same group and have completely different reactions to those.
Right. There's a difference between somebody making you feel uncomfortable and someone being a bad influence.
Yes.
You have to find if that uncomfortable feeling is because of your insecurities.
Right.
Or something that you are putting out there.
Right.
Or if it's from them. And it's sometimes it's easier to be like, that person makes me feel uncomfortable. I don't want to be around them.
Yeah.
And that's on you, not on them. You know?
I just recently had a situation with someone who's in my social circle.
Sure.
And of course I have kind of a wide social
circle. Everybody in your social circle is like really listening in. Volume is turned up.
And there was a person in the group that at first I really did not like. And I was like, ugh. But then the more I got to know this person, I realized, because in the beginning I kind of had some things that I felt were rude or whatever, or exclusive. But then I realized, this person is just different. And
right.
Like, and as I've gotten to know this person more, like, I love people who, the more I get to know, the more I like.
Because
that's kind of rare in these days. Like, that the more you get to know somebody, the more you like them.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes, like you said, sometimes it's uncomfortable and you're like, But then you realize, okay, this person just has a different personality or a different, you know, way of, you know, handling themselves or whatever, but are completely genuine.
Sure. Absolutely. And okay, so let's kind of branch away from that and kind of talk about the workplace.
Yes.
Because I think that is something that people don't necessarily think about when it comes to bad influences.
Mm-hmm.
And not just coworkers or your boss, but also the kind of culture that your company or, you know, whatever it is that you do for a living, what they create.
Right.
Right. So I have had way too many jobs for my age range.
I don't think that's true. In your generation, it is not uncommon to change jobs. Plus, you've had moves and circumstances. So it's not like it's not like you're a gypsy.
I mean, not quite a gypsy. That's not on my resume.
Gypsy-ish.
But up until, you know, I would say the past couple of years, I have had no idea what I wanted to do. And so I've kind of floated through, you know, I've weirdly always been in sales, but I have sold some weird shit.
Yeah.
Like I've sold RVs, I've sold boats, pawn supplies. Like I have sold some weird things. And so having different jobs, you have worked in, or I mean, I have worked in different cultures that I didn't realize were bad influences until I got a little bit older and I got into a company that appreciates me and treats me correctly, that I've been like, wow, that was a really bad influence on me.
Sometimes it is a retrospective situation.
Right. Like that really held me back. I should not have been there as long as I was, or I should have not kind of turned into the person that I was when I worked there. And because we work so much, especially in society today, it is so important that if you have the ability to put yourself in the position to find a job or a company that the people around you and the culture are a good influence in your life, that you do it.
Right. And, you know, I always say, like, we're never going to have an occupation, or for most of us, where every day we love it.
Oh, no. Yeah, absolutely not.
But, you know, I mean, so the grading scale for our work life is like, okay, are we having more good days than bad?
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
You know,
kind of a situation. Mm-hmm. But I think that's really important because in a lot of ways, this is a clear example where, for the most part, you can't get away from these people.
Yes, I exactly.
Mean, obviously, people get promoted or, you know, or leave the company or whatever. But by and large, like you said, the culture is going to kind of be what the culture is.
Sure.
So this is one of those situations where you've really got to dig down and figure out a way to cope with someone who may not be a great influence on you.
Right.
But not let it change who you are.
Absolutely.
And the older you get, you're right, the easier it is. Mm-hmm. But when you were young, you know, 22-year-old, it was much harder to because you didn't have experiences to say, this doesn't feel right. This doesn't seem
right. Exactly. You know. I mean, looking back now, I can think of a professional situation I was in that it was a very catty culture and they were extremely critical of my physical appearance when my physical appearance had nothing to do with any part of my job.
Really?
Yes. And so like I didn't wear enough makeup. I wore too much makeup. I dressed too formal. I didn't dress formal enough. Like I was never able to kind of find a lane that I could be comfortable in.
That they were satisfied.
That they were satisfied and they would, and I was very young and they would kind of just let me exist. And so even though it didn't affect like what my actual job performance was,
right,
it affected my attitude doing my job. And I just created a big group of enemies doing this job because I was so uncomfortable in my skin trying to do the job.
Right.
But I didn't think about it at that time of, wow, these people are really bad influences. I should get the hell out of here or right. I need to go to someone and get some help over this kind of behavior. I would just be a bitch back to them. You know what I mean? And then and in the end, it was a total disaster.
Right. And this has been how long now?
This has been, God, like 7 years.
Okay. And so what is so important about this is this is 7 years old.
Yes.
And when you talk about it, sometimes it is as raw like it was yesterday.
Like yesterday.
So that's why we're saying this.
This is what I feel is the biggest injustice of my life.
Yes.
Which I know some people are thinking, oh, well, how nice to be you. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
But everyone has their own thing that they carry with them.
Right.
And this is what I will probably carry the rest of my life,
right.
This injustice that I feel from being in an environment full of people who were bad influences and me being so young to not understand to pull myself out of it.
Just as a point of reference, just as you were saying that other people may look at that and go, oh my gosh, it's not a big deal. Minor surgery only occurs on other people. Okay. Like that's,
right, exactly.
Everybody's entitled to have their situation and go, hey, this is not a situation I'm good in and that this is really important and really, you know, makes an impact on. But that's the thing is that at that age, you weren't able to recognize it. Now you would be able to.
Oh, absolutely.
And so there may be some listeners out there right now that are going, you know, like, oh, you know, is this the right place? And we're not saying jump ship tomorrow. You know, that's not
absolutely not.
But we are saying that if you don't feel like you're getting fed in a professional setting, that, yeah, maybe you do need to be looking at some, you know, at a career change or a culture change at some point, you know, down the road.
Absolutely. And there's a saying that like you were the bad guy in someone's story.
Right.
You know
you're
what
the
I
asshole
mean?
In somebody's story.
Right. Yeah. And so this was 7 years ago. Who knows what would have gone on in those people's life who kind of did that to me, they could have changed, turned into lovely people, blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
I'm sure there have been times that I have been that person in someone else's story.
Yes.
So like we said, bad influences don't necessarily equal bad people.
Right.
Unless you were one of those people, then you are a bad person. And I will remember.
So Tara, do you think you'll ever, on this particular situation, ever going to get over it? And I say,
perfect, go ahead.
Well, that sounds very judgmental of me, and I'm not. I'm just teasing you, really. I'm not. I don't really mean get over it, but
I mean, so many people in my life have, like, my mom used to say, you know, carrying anger is like drinking poison, expecting the other person. It's like I know I have so many people who pray and hope that one day I will not carry this with me. But I think I will forever. If I'm just being perfectly honest, I think I always will.
Take it to the grave.
I will take it to the grave. I will always dream up every so often. Taylor Swift has this song called Look What You Made Me Do. And every time it comes on my like playlist or whatever, I just like seethe thinking about like one day I'll have my sweet, sweet revenge. But the true revenge of all of this is that I'm so much more successful than I would have ever been in that company.
No question.
And I will never be that person.
No question.
So yeah. that is the true revenge. And I know that. But one day, if I could just
see it just a little bit,
just get a little bit of karma and be there to witness it, that would just be so sweet. Like if they bit into a moldy donut and I just happened to be passing by. Like, I don't want their house to burn down or anything.
But you wouldn't mind them having a flat tire.
But I wouldn't mind them having a flat on like a busy interstate on like Christmas Eve. You know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't mind that.
This is the petty part of the program, people.
That's right. I mean,
what's so funny is as you were telling me that story, which I, you know, obviously I know most all of that, but when you're talking about your inability to satisfy their dress requirements.
Yeah.
Took me back about 2 weeks ago when you were at the gym and so, okay, it is a very basic uniform at the gym. They have a shirt that is every year there's a different shirt. What is it? Black pants or whatever.
Yeah. Athletic pants. Yeah.
So anyway, so.
And I was so proud of myself.
Tara was so proud. By the way. She walks in and she says, don't you like the shirt I'm wearing? You know, because she thought she was in the.
I'm the problem child of the gym.
Yes.
One, because I have been here forever and I don't care about anything. I don't even learn people's names. I'll describe someone.
Employees' names.
Yeah, employees. Yeah,
you learn the kids.
I was like, you know, like the blonde girl, like with the, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Banana's just looking at me like. Wrong with you? 8 people work here. Like, yeah, I'm the problem child. Yeah.
So Tara's standing at the desk and she's like, do you notice something? Like, I'm wearing the right shirt today. And the banana looks up. She's like, no, you're not.
But then, I could then not believe it.
Then what ensued was just this. Tara just goes on this tear about like, yes, this is like this just indignant. Like,
I knew for a fact it was, except it wasn't.
Except
at all.
It wasn't.
But here's the thing. It's a blue shirt with red lettering every year. And I'm just like, change the color of the shirt. Help me out a little bit here. We used to have this system at the gym that was like 3 strikes and you're out. And after my like 50th strike, Banana was like, I give up on you. Like, okay. Like, whatever.
One day I was tasked with, I think it's been long enough now, I'll let this out. One day I was tasked with, hey, you got to get the banana out of the gym. And I was like, why? And I was like, well, we're going to dinner. So like, we'll be gone. She's like, no, like soon. I was like, why? She's like, because I'm wearing a dress. I don't have my,
I forgot my bag completely one day.
You got to get her out of
and
the gym.
And I live far from the gym. I can't just run home and snag it. So I had to coach in like stilettos and a dress that I would wear to work. And so, I was like, she cannot even be anywhere near the building. I walk in and I look at the other staff members and I was like, if anybody in here rats on me, you're dead. Like, I was telling the parents, nobody video. Like, one time I got caught wearing the wrong thing because one of the parents like took a video of their kid. I'm like walking in, yelling at everyone. I mean, you know, whatever. And so I know you guys are thinking, how could any employer possibly have a problem with this gym of a person? But, you know, you just can't please everyone.
Get it. You're the gym at the gym.
That's right. I am the gym at the gym.
That's a nice play on words.
Banana, I'd like a new job title, please. Gym of the gym. Yeah.
Okay. So we've spent some time talking about people as bad influences.
Yeah.
But what about triggers?
Sure.
Or let's also say like triggers and like situational.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You think there's things that are bad influences for us, you know? They say during Lent, like sometimes you should give something up or add something positive to your life during that 40-day time frame. Do you think that there's things that like some people just need to give up altogether?
Yes, definitely.
Give me some. What do you think?
Okay, I'm going to give you like a super basic example.
Okay.
I am addicted to like red original Coca-Cola.
Okay.
I love Coca-Cola more than any other food, beverage. It's my favorite thing on the earth. I cannot even drink like a can of red Coca-Cola without going on like a binger. And I know people are like, really? Coca-Cola? Like, some people have this problem with alcohol, but I don't have it with alcohol. I have it with red original Coca-Cola.
Okay.
And so I can't drink it at all. At all. Or I will drink a case of it and gain 30 pounds. And I'm not joking around.
You're the first person I've ever heard refer to it as the red original Coca-Cola.
Okay. So I call it red Coke at home. Like, cause sometimes I'll just be sitting on my couch and be like, Hubba, God, I want a red Coke. And he hates it. Cause he's like, it sounds like you're saying red Coke. Like, and so he'll be like, the red Cokes are coming. The red Cokes are coming. Like,
That is so funny. I've never heard someone refer to. Now, see, you're not old enough though. Like, because this would have been a little bit before your time, but like, the reason that they call it the original Coke is because, you know, then they had new Coke,
right?
Which was terrible and a very bad idea. But so you were one that has to give up your bad influences, the red Coke.
Yeah. The red Coke is probably the worst influence of my life, which sounds ridiculous, but it's just the truth. Like, it makes me, I would drink six large Route 44 Sonic Cokes a day and I would weigh 1,000 pounds and be completely unhealthy and hate myself. So I can't drink any. I have to drink stupid Coke Zero that I hate.
But that's not that uncommon. And like, I'm gonna make this step and like, you may go, oh gosh, that's way too far. But isn't that the same way an alcoholic is?
Sure.
Like,
I mean,
they can't have one.
Right. Exactly. Right.
And so it's a situation where they just have to, in order to be successful, they just have to say, I can't do this.
Exactly.
I can't touch this.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Mm-hmm. And I think with things that are not people, you can come to that realization a lot sooner. Now, I'm not saying I'm never not going to have a red Coke the rest of my life. Like, I know that I will. I mean, it's red Coke. It's not cocaine. Everyone can chill.
Right.
But that's just something I know is a bad.
Didn't they actually have cocaine in the original Coke formula?
They have it in there now. I know that they do because
that's the issue.
I'm addicted to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that there's a lot of situations and, you know, one of the things that we talk about a lot is social media can be a really, a really bad influence.
It's a trigger for sure.
It can be a huge.
It's a trigger for perfectly healthy people.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that the trouble is that with social media, and I get it, people, they want to post the good things that happen.
Of course. And you should.
And you should. But the problem is that folks get into a kind of a dive when they see like everybody's on vacation.
Yes.
Or what seems like everybody's on vacation. Let's say you have 1,000 Facebook friends. How many Facebook friends?
My gosh.
You probably have 1,000.
I have no idea. Let me look.
So if you have 1,000 friends and one of them is on vacation every week, that would be normal. So that would be 52 people, like one a week is going to be on vacation. It would actually be a lot more than that. But the problem is you see that and then now like you start to feel bad about yourself like, why am I not on vacation?
Yes.
Like all these people are on vacation. Why am I not on vacation? When in reality, it's not like everybody's on vacation. It's a few people that are showing up in your newsfeed.
Right. And I'll be honest, that's a huge thing for me, especially with Hubba being in medical school.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone's life is moving so much faster than mine a lot. And and then I get mad at him. And I'm like,
take it out on him.
Yeah, I take it out on him. And he's like, pretty sure you were there when I signed up to go to medical school. Like, I think whether people want to admit it or not, it's a huge trigger for people.
Yeah. And there are so many good parts to social media.
Yes.
But then, like I said, you know, it can be this trigger for, like you said, perfectly healthy folks, perfectly reasonable people. But after, and even sometimes it can bother you more than others. There's probably days when it doesn't bother you at all.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, it was interesting the other day. I saw somebody posted something and they were like, okay, if you are pressing record to video something you're about to do, you have now changed the intent of what you're doing.
Absolutely.
Meaning, yes. Like, if you're going to show you helping someone or doing whatever, like, the second you decide to video that, like, you changed your intent.
Of course, you
know? Yes. And I think that that's one of the things that gets me, and especially when you know people, like on a deeper level, and then you see the bullshit they put on Facebook or Instagram or whatever, you're like, okay.
Yeah. You're like, excusez-moi.
Yeah. And it's like, it's not, I don't have any scientific evidence for this, but like, if I see too many, oh my gosh, my husband is so great posts, I know there's a problem at home. Okay. Like, let's... let's just call a spade.
Sure.
Like when somebody is like, or you know, it could be the wife too, you know, whatever. Like if there's like too many positive posts about a certain topic, kids, right. husband, wife, house, job, I'm like, yeah, something's going on.
The minute someone posts about a perfect husband, I'm like, oh, you a liar. Oh, you tell lies, huh? Perfect husband does not exist.
Oh, poor
husband. Now, perfect wives, I mean.
Yes. Oh, yes. 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 They're just abounding these days. So plentiful.
Yeah.
I think people have to be careful about how much they go out for certain people.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, you have to be careful about how much you go out. Some people have things that trigger spending.
Yes.
And
yes.
I have noticed about myself that when I start to really kind of get anxious, mm-hmm. that I want to go like buy things. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of have to be on the lookout for when my anxiety gets really bad that I'm not just like, you know what? I really need a new couch. Like, whoa. No, you don't. You don't need a new couch.
No, I think that is hugely, hugely important because there is something, and of course, we are not scientists by any means or, you know,
or qualified.
But there's definitely a trigger like of purchasing something because you've even mentioned like going this past weekend to get stuff like got you a little bit of that high.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. so there is something to that.
Oh, absolutely. Like I love, you know, a good sale, like feeling like I got something.
Yes.
You know, for a deal.
Bargain.
It really does give me like a high.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I'm feeling icky, mm-hmm. I want a high and I know that's a sure way to get it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think some people have to kind of be on the lookout for that.
Yeah. And I think this time of year, especially,
mm-hmm.
we're through the holidays.
Yes.
You know, I mean, like spring break for adults is no longer a holiday. So
right.
like, we're in the long stretch here.
Sure.
Long stretch until maybe you're going to go on vacation this summer or maybe you're going somewhere at spring break. But like, this is a tough season.
It is.
And see, because you've got end of January, credit card bills have come in from Christmas.
Front row.
You know, then and you've got this stretch and you've seen family and so you've had all this. So I think like right now is a really tough time for a lot of people because it's like it's still winter outside, so it's still
it's a little chilly.
Dreary.
A little nip in the air.
Yeah. Okay, so you wanna know what probably my biggest trigger is?
Yeah.
It's work.
Okay.
And I think there's probably a lot of people out there that are like shaking their head, especially if you're self-employed, you know, mm-hmm. It's work.
Sure.
Like that can be very bad influence because if things are going awry in other areas of my life or anxiety is high with the kids or, you know, if the banana and I are in a argument, I can go to work.
Right.
Like that's my unhealthy safe space.
Okay.
Because then it's just, I'll just throw myself into work.
Okay. Pretend the rest doesn't exist.
Yes. Sure. And I think that a lot of people do it. But I will tell you, I have done that for years now. And that's probably one of my biggest struggles is the inability to maintain a healthy work-life balance.
Okay.
And that's a very bad influence for me because as the old saying is, you know, nobody is on their deathbed and says, man, I wish I'd have worked more.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
And honestly, like I had a partner who struggled with the same thing. He struggled with a work-life balance.
Sure.
And in today's environment, so much of your self-worth is wrapped up in your Absolutely. Occupation.
Yes.
You know,
your success in the workplace.
And so then, and that's completely unhealthy and I'm not, but I'm being real about it that when I have a good day at work and when I've checked off a bunch of boxes,
mm-hmm.
then I have a good night.
Absolutely.
If I check off not very many boxes, then I'm probably going to be grumpy. And the thing is that I know that
mm-hmm.
and I do my best to kind of work through this with my therapist. You know, like we talk about it a lot.
Right.
But let me bring this all the way back full circle to what I started the episode with was what I saw as a middle schooler was you work your ass off. You get into a certain social circle.
Right.
You get to do certain things.
Right.
Like that was ingrained mm-hmm. when I was in seventh grade.
Sure. Absolutely.
And that has followed me all the way for 40 years now, or not 40 more years, but till now I'm 40. And I'm still battling that because that was what I thought was. And even though now I know that's not the situation.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But it still is really difficult to shake. Mm-hmm. Not unlike your I hope that at some point I will be able to have a better handle on it.
Right.
But just like your situation with your injustice, like there are certain habits that die hard.
Yes.
And this absolutely. For me with equating work to self-worth to, your report card of how you're doing as an adult, like that's a trigger for me.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I mean, I can totally see that. And I think a lot of people can relate.
When work becomes an addiction, mm-hmm. like Red Coke, like the Redcoats,
it'll get you.
like that's when it becomes unhealthy. And sure. I'll be honest, I admire so much. I've got a few people that I work with, not directly, we're not in the same business, but I love the fact that I'll email them and I won't get a response for 3 days. I'm like, that's incredible.
You love that?
I do.
That's the kind of bullshit you're going to say on this?
No, what I'm saying is maybe I don't love that. That's probably
you respect it.
I admire it.
Okay.
And I want to be like that, to be like, man, that is really nice to not like immediately respond to a text message.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like to get to that level where you don't feel that kind of responsibility. Mm-hmm. So that's like for me, one of the.
I want to talk a little bit since we've been going so hard on bad influences.
Yeah.
I want to talk a little bit about how someone who makes a good influence on your life can mm-hmm. help alleviate you of some bad habits.
Yes.
So one of the things that we kind of talked about this earlier in the podcast is that Hubba, he doesn't get worked up about anything.
Right.
He's not going to lose a night of sleep over someone's opinion or some kind of problem that's facing him.
No.
Never. It's never going to happen.
Sleeps like a baby.
Yeah. No, no joke. But I'm going to lose all the sleep. I'm never sleeping.
Yeah.
And when we first got married, I would see that no matter what was going on in our life, he was sleeping at night. I would get so angry. I'd be like, no, I can't sleep. I'm worried about this thing that I've been talking
to
you about.
You need to be.
I need you to be awake, worrying with me.
Right.
And he would be like, baby, I'm tired. I'm going to go to sleep. And as we have been together longer and longer and longer, there are very few things that make me not be able to sleep now. We have, or not we as in relationship, but Hubba and I have big decisions ahead of us.
Oh, yeah.
Big problems around us and big things happening in our life, what feels like to me constantly.
Right.
But now watching him sleep through these things has allowed me to sleep more, which is like, I mean, when I was 19, 20 years old and I would stay awake all night because someone said something rude to me at a party and, I'll just sit there thinking about it over and over, that is gone.
Yeah.
And that's kind of an example of someone being a good example and helping you get rid of a bad habit.
Yeah. So I have kind of a similar scenario for that.
Sure.
So I have always had, and I don't want to say like, I can be an angry person. Now, I'm not like physically angry at people, but like I can get very, like I have a hard time managing frustrations with people.
Sure.
So there's a guy that I serve on a board of directors with for a nonprofit. And this is like the coolest guy. He's in his late 70s, I believe. And this guy is just, he's hilarious. Whenever he comes in the room, he's just like this bigger than life personality and he's fun. And he's always, jabbing, making fun and, getting people riled up and, this guy, he acts like a child at in his late 70s. And he's so fun to be around. Well, anyway, a good friend of mine, we were talking and I was kind of talking about my struggles with my kind of getting so angry at folks or holding on to anger.
Sure.
And he was like, you really should talk to Larry. He's like, Larry had like an incredible anger problem. And I was like, really?
Wow.
And so I called and I said, hey, can we have breakfast? He's like, absolutely. So then he just starts telling me these stories that were unbelievable about this anger that he had as a young adult
mm-hmm.
and, how he kind of worked through it or whatever. And it just like gave like hope. It was like, whoa. Cause I mean, that would be the last descriptive term you would use to talk about this man would be that he seems angry,
right.
Because that's just so far, but he has to work on it every day. you know, in order to, I mean, he says, this is not a thing that I can, you know, turn on and off, but, you know, and I'm sure age has helped some, but he had to make a conscious decision one day because he'd gotten so angry. He had like a road rage incident where he like tried to pull a guy out of a car.
Oh, wow.
And, I mean, like a serious situation. And it was years later and he just had to make a conscious decision. Like, I can't do this, you know? And so there is nothing better than when somebody can tell you, or someone can show you, hey, you can make a change, you know,
absolutely,
and be that positive influence. So that's really good that Hub has been able to be that positive influence to allow you to sleep better at night.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, when we plan out these podcasts, we kind of have an outline.
Sure.
But oftentimes the stories that we're telling each other, it's the first time we're hearing them.
Yeah.
You know, we're not really discussing them beforehand. And I think it's so interesting that you kind of told that story about anger, because it reminded me of a story about Hubba and this man named Chico.
Yes, I know Chico.
Yes. So my husband did not have a conventional childhood, I guess I should say.
Right.
So when he was young, he found Chico and pretty much just told him, I need a job. I'm going to work for you. Chico had a landscaping company. He was a teacher at Hubba School and a soccer coach. And Chico said, of course, you know, he kind of took him under his wing.
Yeah.
And I really credit Chico with making Hubba the man he is today.
Yeah.
So he turned 60 not long ago and we went to his birthday party and there were so many people there to see
to celebrate
Chico,
yeah,
you know, to celebrate him. He's an incredible man. I'm sure he has done what he's done for Hubba for many people. And he sat and talked with Hubba almost the whole time I was there. I had to leave because B was being an asshole. And so we had to kind
well,
of
it was
dip
kind of
out
late.
Early.
It was late,
but she's a troll sometimes. So, and the issue is she's so beautiful that people are always like, hi. And then she'll just be like, don't touch me. So we had to leave, but Hubba told me later when I picked him up that he told him, you know, I'm super proud of you and the man you became because you were such an angry kid. And I don't think there is.
That blows me away.
Isn't that insane?
That blows me away.
Anyone who has ever met my husband.
Yeah.
Would never describe
Same
him
yep.
as being an angry person or an angry kid.
No, and that would be the furthest thing.
Exactly. I mean, it is crazy. It blew my mind to hear, and I looked at Hubba and I said, do you think that's true? And he said, yeah, I do. I was floored by this revelation.
Yeah.
And it kind of goes back to what we're talking about. There are bad influences in our life.
Sure.
And we are going to be a bad influence in someone's life.
Yeah.
But if you can be a good influence in someone's life, you can change the direction that they go.
Yeah, their whole trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hubba is completely self-made. He's about to graduate medical school. He has accomplished every one of his dreams.
Sure.
And I completely believe it's because Chico was a good influence on him.
Absolutely.
And also me. I'm also a good influence on him. But in the beginning,
fear is a great motivator.
Exactly. Yes. To think that this man was an angry kid is crazy.
Yes.
So
I would agree with that for sure.
Yeah. I love that. So yeah, influence is important.
Tara, this has been a really heavy episode. I think it surprises me sometimes when we know we're going to have a heavy episode.
Right.
But then other times it's like we jot it down. It's like, whoa, that got deep in a hurry.
Sure.
But I think it's been so good today talking about influences and, if nothing else, just bringing awareness.
Right. Absolutely.
And because I think that's what we're here for.
We
like to bring awareness to certain things. And, you know, it's just a good time of year to kind of reevaluate some of that.
Absolutely.
And so I hope that the Shallow Squad has, you know, kind of heard what we're, you know, kind of our personal experiences plus our kind of our take on some things and just, you know, we want them to live their best life.
Absolutely.
Right.
That is the goal of the show, to live your best life, to find happiness in yourself.
Right. Absolutely. So anyway, so thanks so much this is actually a topic you had come up with. And
sure.
At first I wasn't really 100% sure, but the more we've talked about it, the more clear it's become that this is something that like we've really got to pay attention to. So I think that's really awesome.
Absolutely.
Tara, this week, who is going to be our spotlight listener.
Sure. So our spotlight listener is going to be Desiree.
Yes.
She is one of our day ones.
Of course. And she is. She absolutely is.
She shares the show. She, you know, grabs people's phones and, you know, shows them how to get the show. She's a big fan and a big supporter. And we are so grateful that she is part of the Shallow Squad.
We are. We are. We so absolutely are.
We've got a shirt for you, Desiree. I'll get with you and we'll make sure that you get that sorted.
Awesome. Okay, Tara, it is your favorite time of the program.
I hate that.
What are you hating this week?
Okay, so I hate how clever my child is becoming.
Mm-hmm.
It is really starting to become a bummer.
Okay, before you get too deep into this,
right,
y'all, there was a time when Tara, she called. Well, this is not one phone call. This was multiple phone calls, yes, over a several month period.
Yeah.
She was just so worried that B was not going to talk, like that she was just going to be mute, like that there was going to be, you know, she's going to be.
She would not talk, you guys. She wouldn't talk.
And I recall saying, like, everybody, you know, everybody comes at a different pace. Like, just wait it out.
Yes.
Now the child.
She doesn't just talk.
She doesn't just talk.
She is the smartest person. When I was pregnant, we had to write these wishes for our child. And I said that I hope she was smart like mm-hmm. her dad and strong like her mom.
Mm-hmm.
I regret both of those.
Yeah.
I wish she was strong like her dad and smart like her mom. Like, she was the worst of us. Because it's like some kind of magic happened and she is way too smart. And way too strong.
Yeah, it is a brilliant Tasmanian devil running around.
I have never heard her described better. Besides brilliant Tasmanian devil. Yes, where can I get that embroidered on a lace pillow to throw in her room, y'all? She is my wild child, and I only have one. But I have had people like I have a friend Marissa who tells me, well, you had your hard one first. I'm like,
this may be-
yeah, I had my only one first because she's crazy. My dad will joke that my youngest brother would have been an only child. Mm-hmm. And I'm just looking to be like, you got out of line.
Well, that
she caught in front of the other eggs.
Isn't that the saying? If the last one would have been the first one, it would have been the only one.
Theory is being tested over at my house.
Jeez.
But y'all, the things that come out of her mouth are so scary because my future is in peril. But the latest thing is we're over at a friend's house we're over at her tia and Uncle Zach's house, who let her get away with murder, much like her Uncle Matt and Aunt Banana.
Yeah.
And so I ask her to do something. She tells me no. And then she runs to Tia. So, and of course, here's like, oh, baby. So then I'm like, no, no, no. Come with mommy. You know, we're going to go do this. And she looks at me and says, get your dirty hands off of me. This child is 2.5 years old. And she told me to get my dirty hands off of her. I was like, first of all, my hands are not dirty. So don't go around telling people that. And second of all, what is happening? And we're all just looking at each other. Everyone's laughing, except for me, because yes. I'm like,
What just happened here?
And I just hate that. I don't know how to combat this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I hate it.
It will get worse. Don't worry.
So I'm just keeping my dirty hands to myself.
Keep
for
your
a
dirty
while.
Hands to yourself.
And I was just like, oh. Why didn't I wish for a sweet baby? Why did I ask for smart and strong? What was I thinking?
Yeah.
Sweet and meek. That's what I'm writing down if I ever.
Sweet and meek. If you have another child that's sweet and meek, then B will just like completely dominate this poor child. Gosh.
God help me. So yeah, that's what I'm hating. What about you? What are you hating?
So staying in the children's department, staying in the children's lane. So the youngest has decided. And this is a hard deal. Self-expression with kids, it's tough. I'm not saying I know all the answers, but the youngest has taken to this interesting hairstyle.
Okay.
Have you seen him lately?
He has long hair, right?
Yes.
Okay.
He's wearing
it's very bowl cut. Yes. 1999.
Yeah, but I would actually even go back further than that. I would say it's like a really bad Beatles haircut because it's now like over his ears at a strong angle.
That is really funny because I just assume the banana's been cutting their hair.
No, no, no. He has to, but this is his thing. And it takes all my might, like, not to say like some really offensive stuff to him because I don't want him to feel like judged about his hair. But man, it is so bad. And when he wakes up in the morning, he has like really like thin hair,
mm-hmm.
but he has a lot of it.
Right.
So literally he looks like he has got his hands on two of those. What are the electrical things that,
right,
that make your hair? It looks like he's holding two of them. Like his head is just like. So I am enduring / hating the self-expression
phase
that we are in with the 9-year-old.
I'm going to really struggle with that as well.
Yeah, you are.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I mean, B is already kind of opinionated about what she wears.
Yeah.
And I'm also very opinionated about what she wears. So that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. So. See, boys are really a lot easier because it is, you get a certain period of time where it is like basketball shorts and t-shirts,
right,
and hoodies. Like you get a nice like decade of that attire.
A decade.
Once they get out of like when you can dress them and, you know, make them wear the khaki pants and all the, you know,
sure,
and the polos, then right, it's like a decade of
dress them like little bankers.
Yes. They are dressed like little bankers. Yes.
Preschool.
then they go through this decade of oversized clothes, like,
sure, the,
you know, it's hoodies, basketball shorts, you know, shirts or whatever. And then at some point, I'm guessing when they get in, you know, interested in the young ladies, that they will want to clean up
up the act a little, yeah, bit, wear some deodorant.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is going to bring us to the end of. We were going to say we were talking about bad influences, but I think we talked about influence.
Influences. Yeah. Yeah.
All varieties.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. We hope that this show has been a chance for you to look at the influences in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you need to, make some changes to be a positive influence in the life of others.
Just remember, we may sound shallow, but the depth is real.
And don't forget to check us out on Instagram at Deeply Shallow Podcast.
And like Deeply Shallow Podcast on Facebook.
Hey, Tara, we've really enjoyed our podcast experience, but I think we would both agree that creating and launching a podcast is way more than just recording content. We had no idea how much technology could help or hurt a podcast. I mean, we could be spending hours on editing, audio quality, uploading to a hosting service, just to name a few.
Totally agree. We interviewed several companies and couldn't be happier with Riley and his team at Podigy. Their skills, passion, and professionalism have proven to be the best partners for us.
Yeah, that's podigy.co, podigy.co. Right now, they're offering 25% off first month services for new podcasters.